Dear people, will you please open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. And follow along as I read verses 38 and down to and including verse 42. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. Let us once again seek our God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we ask your mercy and your grace to us as we turn to your word, O Lord God. We pray that you would teach us what our Savior is teaching us. Open up our hearts by the Holy Spirit and his ministry to us that we may know and understand what is being said. Help me, O Lord God, to guide your people through this truth, and may we afterwards can say to you, O God, we thank you for light and understanding in your word. Hear and answer our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The Sermon on the Mount. It is this section of Scripture that Jesus, as he begins, it seems to be his first recorded message or preaching message to the people of God. And we found out as we've come to this, the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus really preaching some true understanding of what a Christian is and what he or she would be like and how different they would be in the world among all other people. We found Jesus saying that with the very beatitudes he gave to us, and he tells these blessings that come out to those who now have been changed. You and I have seen from this that what we have here, that they're no longer the same people that they were. Anyone who is saved in the Lord Jesus Christ is really, as Christ could say, a new creature. But Jesus here also indicates that these people are those who are in the kingdom of God. And he gives and shows that there's a character difference to them by who they are. He calls them those who are poor in spirit. They are those who know that they are bankrupt. They don't have anything that they can take before God. Now, this is very important in the day that Jesus walked and was teaching, because remember, he had the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and they all thought they were one who were with God. Even the very nation of Israel at that time, they were with God and they were the children of God because they were the Israelites. But Jesus now is saying that there's a different thing. You're going to see the kingdom of God does not consist of Israelites alone. They consist of other ones who would come to him. And he indicates in this that you're going to know the character of these people because of the way they are. He begins with the Beatitudes and he says, first of all, there's something that is in them that makes them different. They are poor in spirit, he says. They are those who know that they don't have anything spiritual to bring to God and to hold up to him and say, you should receive me because this is what I am. They're poor in spirit. They are those, he could say, the ones who they want. They mourn also. They are those who mourn over their sins. Now, that was something that was not seen from the people of that day, especially no Pharisee. He didn't mourn over his sin. He says, I am the children of Abraham, so I have it made. But here Jesus is saying, what takes place in the heart of a Christian is that they begin to see who they really are. And they mourn because sin is always there. They have not come to a place they can say, you know what? I've done everything right. I don't need to worry about anything. No, they know that they are a sinner. They see and understand this, and this is going to be their very nature, and they know until God should come and take them home. They'll never be in a place where they say, we are without sin. But there are those who know that if sin remains in them, they hate that sin. And they mourn because they know that they are not doing all that they desire to do and please God. But not only inwardly, there is a very idea that comes out, though it is inwardly, and it actually shows itself around people who are with them. They are gentle. They are the people who are not those who take upon themselves. They want to do everything they can to even, as it were, to beat on somebody else, to take the advantage of somebody else. They are gentle ones. They are called also those who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. They want to be more like God. They want to understand what God's word says to them so that they will be able to live even more like God. They are those who are merciful. They look at people and they see people in their situations, and they are the ones, the first one who come with mercy to them. And as we saw that, we know because they receive mercy from God. So therefore, they are those who desire to give mercy. They're pure in heart. They're not double-minded. They don't have a hidden agenda. They don't speak with people with one thing, but they have another thing hidden inside. And this is where they are. No, they are peacemakers also. They see and love people, and they want to show peace to people. But these, what is said inside, and Jesus said from this, we see this, these people are going to be persecuted. They're not going to be people who are loved by the world, and the world look at them and say, wow, a Christian has come into our midst. You know what? We are so blessed to have a Christian here. No, they're going to be persecuted. And in the midst of those persecutions, all, Jesus says, you are salt and light. You are salt and light to the world. You're there for a purpose, and that purpose is that you're going to show the world the reality of what true religion is. And Jesus go on and says his whole purpose of coming was not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And then he goes down and he says that. And he goes to another portion of his Sermon on the Mount, where he's saying to now you're going to be ones that you're going to actually show to the world how different you are in your very relationships to the world. And he says that, first of all, it's going to build with those close around you. He tells us certain things. He teaches on these things which now the Pharisees and the teachers of the day had, but they taught the things the wrong way. He taught them about murder. It's in the heart. It's the very thing that causes us hatred in the heart. And what you want to do for people, angry towards people, that is the first step, as it were, for murder. And he went on and he taught us even about the whole idea of adultery. Adultery, it begins in the heart. A man or woman who looks upon another, they have committed adultery in the heart. And he talks about that closest union that God made, and that is the union of marriage. And he says it should not divorce. And the whole idea there is that you think about another person and what that person is going to go into, what his or her life is going to be about, and what it will be like after divorce. And what about another person who would marry if you put this person away? He talked about oaths or vows, as we see. What you say, make sure you're not one who's trying to make yourself look good, but saying all flowery things about yourself. Just say yes or no. Quick verbiage. And you have to go into all this. And now we come into another section where Jesus now says what I read in your hearing. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But he says this and makes all of us who are strange about this. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other cheek. So in other words, do this and live this way. Now, what Jesus has shown us in the very way that I've been going down the sermons here, and that is, he stated what was expounded and taught, first of all, by the doctors and the teachers and all of that day. He said this is what they live like. And they were glad for them to be able to say, you have heard from those who are around you what they taught. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And even when you see this and you take it up this way, you can get the idea that how Jesus is putting forth is that they had one thing in mind, retaliation. Whatever someone did to you, you do it back. But Jesus is saying that that is not what you should look at. As the old teachers quoted these things, they used these very things in order to be able to stand before the people and have some kind of control over them. You remember what he said? You have heard that it was said. But here, there were problems. They didn't teach the law as it was given by God. They taught the law how they saw it in a different schools that they went through to try to now impose that upon the people. They only went as far as the letter of the law. And they used it for their own good. They did not care about the relationships of people. They did not care what God was really actually doing with the law. They took no time to try to dig into it and see what the law was actually teaching. They used the law to justify themselves as righteous by their works. They were legalists. They didn't serve God. They just did some things that they thought was right by God. Now, Jesus here picks up this very next one we have, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Now, I don't think any one of us sitting in this place right now can say we have pondered and wondered about what Jesus was teaching when we come to this very section of Scripture. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Now, we find this statement in several places in the Old Testament, but we must see what is really being said about this. Turn with me to I'm going to take you to three sections. I'm going to read portions in order that you would see and understand in its actual setting what God is saying there and what the Pharisees decided they wanted to say about it. Exodus chapter 21 is the first one we would look at. Now, I'm going to give you the context. I'm going to read a little bit of it. Here in verse 21, Exodus chapter 21. If men struggle with each other and strike a woman with child so that she gives birth prematurely, yet there is no injury, he shall surely be fined as the woman's husband may demand of him, and he shall pay as the judge decides. But if there is any further injury, then you shall appoint as a penalty life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, womb for womb, bruise for bruise. Now, in the setting, you can see that it is one who is going to judge this situation and see what has been done. And so, therefore, the right amount of what was actually the problem or the pain or the suffering or the injury that was there, they said, no more. You do no more than that injury, and that's the only thing that can be required of them. So it was an ordinance given to the people as how they would find themselves dealing with injuries among the people of Israel. Notice in Leviticus chapter 24. Leviticus 24, beginning at verse 13. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, bring the one who has cursed outside the camp, and let all who heard him lay their hands on his head. Then let all the congregation stone him. You shall speak to the sons of Israel, saying, if anyone curses his God, then he will bear his curse. Moreover, the one who blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him, the alien as well as the native. When he blasphemes the name, shall be put to death. If a man takes the life of any human being, he shall surely be put to death. The one who takes the life of the animal shall make it good, life for life. If a man injures his neighbor, just as he has done, so it shall be done to him. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Just as he has injured a man, so it shall be inflicted upon him. And then you find again what Moses is saying, but God has given him to. There's going to be this way that all these things that happen, there's going to be a right way to deal with them. And again, Deuteronomy 19. Deuteronomy 19. And I'll just read verse 21. Because here we find that the same thing is said, but let us just see what it's saying here. Thus you shall not show pity, life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Now, what is the Lord Jesus Christ saying? And if we go back over into Matthew chapter 5, what is he really saying there? He is indicating that here is a law, that the law was given. And we understand what Christ is saying when we look at what he says afterwards. But Right now, what he's saying here, here's what the law actually said. This is what the law is indicating what you must do. Yeah? Now, what did the Pharisees do? Remember, when we look at this, we find that the Pharisees and the scribes and the doctors and the lawyers, they're teaching it the way they want to teach it. And so they are leaving out really what God's saying. Now, as we looked at those three passages, we saw and understood this is something that has to be taken up. The judges are the ones who deal with these issues. The judges are the ones who said what must be done. They were the ones who decided the equal punishment for the crime that has to be done for one who did it. The Pharisees have done in the day of Jesus' day, they was using this as their own means of retaliation against people. It was their personal way of getting right with somebody, or getting back at someone. They used this because they believed that they are the ones who had to now show and do what they needed to be done. They had the freedom, they thought. If someone did something bad to them, they can come back and do the same thing to them. The Pharisees took these regulations and twisted them for their own personal use. They taught that a person... personal insult can be settled by referring to these Old Testament passages by their own retaliation against someone. And this was the problem. And we can see this when we see what Jesus says. And he says, you have heard, but I say to you, do not resist evil persons. Do not resist that one. And here Jesus is saying now, as you look at what, let's say it, the Pharisees and the doctors and the lawyers are teaching you, and how they're teaching you wrong from the law, so I'm saying to you, don't follow what they're teaching. Understand what they're really trying to do. Jesus jumped straight to, do not resist an evil person. Now, the thing that he's saying there about the person, he's saying, first of all, this is someone, he puts him in the category of being evil because he is doing something wrong. And he's doing something wrong to you, Christ says. But he says here, do not resist that person. Now, the word resist, it means to stand or to stand against, to oppose. Luke 21:15. For I will give you utterance and wisdom which none of your opponents will be able to resist. They would not, as your opponents, be able to stand against you. They would not be able to refute what you're about to say. They have no way of resisting you. They have no comeback, as we say. Romans 13:2. In that very passage where Paul is teaching that the God is the only one who set up governments, and they're under his authority. He's the one who's doing it. So everybody must submit to the government. And so he says there, therefore, whoever resists the authority or their government has opposed or resisted the ordinance of God. So you're seeing, here is what is coming towards you. You say, no, I'm not going to do it. You stop it. You put it away. You won't do it. You don't want to do it. And James, in his epistle, 4:7, he says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So he's saying that, in other words, you can stiff arm the devil. You can stand, make him stand back. You can oppose him and he will run from you. Now, this is the very word Jesus used here. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. Do not resist the evil person. He's coming and he's going to do something. Don't oppose him. Don't resist him. Put it in our language, don't fight him. Don't retaliate. Don't think, because you're coming and what you're about to do, I'm going to stop you. That's strange, isn't it? You ever think about that? That's what the Lord said, isn't it? You see it in your Bibles. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. And then he goes on. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. Now, Lord Jesus, what are you saying to us? You're saying that what we have to do here is now, what that someone is about to do, we're going to just actually take it? And not only just take that, but even put yourself there to take more? If we leave this kind of a teaching, what Christ is saying here, in our own little understanding, what goes on to in our world, we're going to miss the whole point. What Jesus is teaching everywhere down the line, he's teaching about the law and those ordinances that God has given to the Old Testament people. The law is lived out from the heart, which is a new spiritual life. And this is what he's saying. But whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. The passage has been misused throughout the centuries of the world, throughout Christianity. It has been used to teach that you can be a conscientious objective. You can oppose certain kind of laws and the force and everything. Since Christ says there should be no way you go ahead and do anything which is going to be to hurt another person, why go to war? God is saying we must be pacifists. We should not do that. And there were some Christian groups that they're conscientious objectors. They don't go to war. And it's also indicating they teach that there is no way you should have, one man taught, you shouldn't have any police. You shouldn't have any law at all. No army, no nothing. Because they're going to bring something against you in the baseball. They're going to be those who are going to actually come against you, and you don't need them. We have a society where all you have is everybody will be so wonderful. You know what? Nobody will be hitting anybody. But that doesn't work, does it? We have a world now which it seems like the better you treat people, the worse they're going to treat you. It's a sad thing. You know, even as parents, we find out that even happens in our houses. Well, that even happens with our loved ones, too. If you're easygoing, what's going to happen? They're going to do something against you. There were those who are outside of the church, and they look at this and they say, you know, well, men have to do that. Somebody slap them on the cheek, you turn the other cheek. Well, that's why I don't want to be a Christian. Because they're nothing but milquetoast men. They're chumps. The Lord is saying, you know what happened to you? Smack you, turn the other cheek. Let him smack you. So here Jesus takes up this whole thing. The unconverted use this passage in such a way that is always to look down upon the church. But they are Jesus' words. The spirit of the Old Testament regulation is not to seek retaliation. This is the whole idea where Jesus is going to. It's the whole idea of retaliation. He's saying what it said, even in the Old Testament, they must be handled by the proper authorities. They were taken before the judges in the passage we read, and they are the ones to do it. And so here, the desire of retaliation, Jesus is saying, that's what we need to look at. You need to look and see who you are as you stand before your brother. And you should be the ones who say, no, this is not what I want to do. The Pharisees made it a use of personal retaliation and personal vengeance. This is what I'm going to do. He did this, I'm going to do this. But see, they missed the Old Testament in other places too. Leviticus 19 and 18, it said, you shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Love, he's saying here, comes in the whole aspect when two people are actually getting along together, two people close together. That love should be there, and even in the way they act to one another. Proverbs 20 and 22. Do not say, I will repay evil. And then it goes on, wait for the Lord, and he will save you. Proverbs 24 and 29. Do not say, this I shall do to him as he has done to me. You see, what Christ is saying here, he's coming now, he's teaching an altogether new thing. And this must have been radical to the people of our day, because it seems kind of radical to us too, doesn't it? Let him smack me on the other cheek too. But see, that's an illustration Jesus has given to show a real teaching that's going to take forth. One commentator says, sometimes you find that our Lord, he'll take the most exaggerated illustration to prove a point, but you have to see what the teaching and the point is. And this is the idea we have to have before. What is Jesus actually teaching? And brethren, this is what he's teaching. This teaching is for the citizens of the kingdom. This teaching is for Christians only. Jesus is not telling people, any one of you who are not saved, this is not for you. I'm not saying you shouldn't be considering what you're going to hear this morning, but he is not teaching you. He's teaching Christians. These are the people in the kingdom of God. And these are the way the kingdom of God to say. Israel was God's whole Old Testament people. Now the Christians are God's New Testament people. And he says, this is the way you're going to live, and this is the way you must live. You must live in this manner. You see, this is for Christians in their personal relationships. All right? That's the main thing we have to understand. Remember, I took you through the first part of chapter 5. You are those who are in the kingdom. You're those who are different. You're going to be lights into the world. You're going to be salt in the world. You're going to live a certain way. Now, when Jesus gets to these areas that we have here, as he opens up the law, he's telling us, you're going to live like this in the world. Now, he's not saying, learn and try to live like this. And because of who you are, you're going to live like this. And you see, that's one thing we have to learn too. Even some Christians say, you know, I'm going to try my best to live up to with the requirements of the Sermon on the Mount. You know, I'm going to learn this, Jesus Christ says, because of who you are, you will live this way. But along with this, Jesus had to take the misrepresentation, the misuse, and the false teaching of the law and teach us the law properly. And so now as we look at this, Jesus saying this, okay, now, instead of you being concerned about when somebody walks up to you and smack you, that you're going to smack me back, how should you think? And I underscore, he's talking about our own relationships. Jesus here is speaking about you and one close to you, your father, your mother, your sister, your brother, your husband, your wife, your children, your Christian brethren in the church, and in some aspect, maybe your neighbor. He's telling you this is the way you ought to live. He said, this is the way you ought to react. We want to retaliate, dear people. No matter what somebody does to us, we want to retaliate when we are mistreated because we think so much of ourselves. You ain't going to treat me like that. If you say something to somebody, say something wrong with you, inside, remaining sin says, get back. Don't take that. And that's why most arguments are made, brother. We find it, and every one of us should confess to it, too. We find ourselves saying stuff to our brother or sister or husband or wife, you know. And it's, after a while, it's gone down a wrong, crazy road. Back and forth, tit for tat. Here we go. Yeah. So Jesus is saying, here's what happened with you and I when we get into that. We are retaliating. And see, that's what the picture here is. When you turn the other cheek, what Jesus is saying, you're not retaliating. You, in a sense, leaving yourself open. I'm not going to come back and hit you. I'm going to show you. I'm going to leave myself open. I'm not going to find myself saying that. We pray that God forgive you and that you won't have to anything, and I forgive you also. The man was so astonished. He walked for days filled with conviction of the sin that he committed, and that man got saved. You ever think about how you talk to someone that you may be at that time saw a light? How you respond to a person if they actually mistreating you, talking about you, and you just listen to them, and you respond in such a way? Do you know what that would actually do to someone? We don't, do we? But we don't know either if God may use that particular thing to save that person. So, and then the other man, this was Hudson Taylor, he was in China. And he had a boat to go across the river, you know, and this elite Chinaman, he came by, and he's standing on the docks, too, and he's sitting there. So he's standing there. And so when the boat pulls up, the man just knocks Hudson Taylor out the way. He falls down in the mud, you know, and he gets up, and he's going to rush onto the boat. But the owner of the boat stopped him. He said, no, that man is the one who purchased this boat to take him across. By that time, Hudson Taylor got up, and he's wiping himself off. He said, come on, you can ride on the boat with me. It is not hard, brother, and this is what Christ is saying. We don't have to retaliate. And I know each and every one of us have situations in our own homes, with our own family members, where we know we want to, and we do sometimes retaliate. And that retaliating, Jesus says, that should not be. You, as one who is in the kingdom, you show something entirely different. Husbands won't be getting at the throats of wives because they don't like what they did and how they did something or didn't do it. You know, that's one of the things. And wives won't be getting at the husbands either because they didn't do what they thought they ought to do. Just think about brother and sister and how you grow up and there's always this conflict back and forth. But when one gets saved, should it continue on? No. There should be a change in that. Our way with children and how they act. Yes, we have a whole area of discipline, but we don't have to be angry when we do it. We don't have to look at them like they're the worst thing in the world. Think again, this whole attitude even caused some to see what the true religion really is. And that's why Jesus says, you are light and salt. And you have to live like light and salt. It's not as we come along sometime and we're going to say something that sounds real spiritual. They have to see that we are spiritual and we live from the heart. Not that I have to go read a passage and come out and try to act like that passage. I should be who I am at all times. And that's a question for you too. Are you light and salt? You see, this is for us. Christ is speaking to us, and he's saying, this is what you ought to do. You notice how he says, but I say to you, Bibi, you, put your name in there. I say to you, and do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him. The very demonstration here is, don't retaliate. And Christ is saying, you know, think about it. Don't retaliate. The turning of the other cheek is basically saying you're not coming back at him or her. You're not doing something now that you want to make sure you get your eye for an eye. You get your hand for hand, foot for foot. I'm going to do what you did to me. Jesus said, no, don't do that. You are a citizen in the kingdom. You are in my kingdom. You walk a certain way, and you are going to display to the world who you really are. Are you different from the unconverted man in your actions and treatment of people? Are you? And here's what we ought to say. Unconverted person come up to you and say certain things. Are you different from him or her? Or are you going to go back? You got your rights. You have to say this. You have to say that. No, brethren, I don't think that we should. And this is the very idea that Jesus is saying. You and I should look at the things which are in our lives and what we're doing. Who is he or she that is close to us? How about our neighbor and this and that? You know, I heard some of the most ridiculous things going on with neighbors. Cross the fence. You ever heard some of those things? What the one on the other side of the fence did for the one over here, you know, and this and that, and destroying their hedges or tearing down their fences, you know, they fight back and forth, you know, trying to do something else. There was something on TV the other day where his family's just fighting until it comes to the point one person gets shot. It's the whole idea of kindness that he's saying. You see, this means really what it really means. Deny yourself. You know what a problem is? We think a lot of self. Every one of us who is saved too, we think a lot of self. when something happens to us, the first idea is that we have to come up, retaliate. Self got to die. And this is what we're doing. As we're growing in grace, self is dying more and more. The heart now brings us to a place where it is not important what you do to me. Can we get that way, brother, where we say, that really is not important? Because who's with me? Who's on my side? Lord God is the one who's taking care of me. You can't do anything to destroy me. And whatever God allows me to do right now is for the purpose of me to learn and to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you read anything in Christ where he retaliated, that he had to fight back? Did he go to the cross? What did he do? Did he fight and didn't want to be put on a cross? He went. He never argued one bit. There's only one case, and this is what we have to think, where Jesus actually, he responded because of what was done to him. And that was when he was before the high priest, and the high priest smacked him. And Jesus responded because that man broke the law. And here is a place where we have to see, because people say this, and you take this so far, you say, well, that means that I can't do anything, right? If somebody does something to me. No. We live under laws. They're God's laws. And so therefore, if we see something being done wrong, and it's wrong, and one man used the idea, if a drunk man comes running down the street and he hits you on the top of your head, you got to restrain that man. So you have to do that. And if a man's going to go and he's going to take somebody's pocketbook or something, we should be the ones who go and grab that man. So therefore, we are. But for personal retaliation, we do not do that. The other thing that was with this whole test here, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. You don't need an army. So therefore, basically, you don't have to do anything to protect the citizens. There are laws in any governments to protect, and that's what we ought to do. We should be, brethren, where we're going to do all we can to keep those in peace. If a man is in his house and somebody breaking his house to hurt his family, he has a right. That's an injustice that man is about to do. So what we do, we save and help our people. So there are times when we're going to do something. Paul the Apostle, you remember with him when he was cast in, beaten first, him and Silas, and cast into prison. And so then they found out that he was a citizen and he had rights. And so they came down at night and they're going to slip him out. Paul said, no. You take us out. Right? So all could see. Because Paul is saying they're going to see, we have not broken any law. That's his right. And so he did that. So therefore, brother, we're going to find ourselves in a situation where we will. So Christ doesn't say this across the board. If somebody, I tell you, if I'm with one of you and somebody come and they're going to do something to you, they ain't going to get away with it. And I think we're right for doing that. And we can see enough in the scriptures is right for doing that. But retaliation is that we're going to do some harm, whatever it may be, to the person who's done harm to us. And we should be those that we look at it and we see, no matter how that person, what he's done to us, can we still show kindness? Can we still be gentle? Can we still be merciful? We have enough examples in the Bible, too. Remember Abraham and Lot. They split up. It was because Lot, what he wanted the best part. And he left his uncle and he wanted, but Abraham wanted him to stay, so he went off, right? But what happened when the kings come and they destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and take Lot out? What did Abraham do? Well, you know what? He left me. He wouldn't stay with me. He would have everything with me. He's going on about his business, so guess what? Just leave him. He made his own bed, let him lie in it. He went. And he rescued him. Remember Joseph and his brothers? Now, if anybody had a right to retaliate, that was Joseph, wasn't he? They took that man, or a young boy, they took him through I don't know what. First they took him and threw him in a pit. You know, they won't kill him there. They were mad at him. They hated him. Father loved him. They hated him. Traveling caravan comes around, sell him to that caravan. He sees him later on. What did he say to him? You were horrible brothers. You know what? You're not even going to come into Egypt. My father, our father, won't come into Egypt. They're going to have the best part of this land. But, you know, you guys, you're not even coming. I'm going to make sure that I'm in command now. No. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And brethren, this is really what Christ is saying here. As you look at this, there is no reason for the Christian to retaliate. The Christian has to do that. And we're going to grow in grace as we find ourselves living this way. Don't look at people and what people have done to us and think that we have to do the same thing. No, we don't. And again, you're going to find out in this is denying yourself. Here's where the gospel really takes root in our heart. It causes us not to live for ourselves. Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, you must deny yourself. If you love father, mother, sister, brother, husband, wife, your children, and even your own life more than me, you can't be my disciple. When we take self and say self is not important here, destroy self. Self is going to die because all self is that man, that spirit that's in it, that flesh want to rise up and say, I deserve. And we're going to say, I don't deserve anything. What did Jesus tell his disciples? Lord, we have left you for everything. What are we going to gain? Or you say, you're unprofitable servants. You don't profit. You don't have gained any profit at anything. You shouldn't be looking for something to come back to you. Just serve me. And people, this is what he's saying here. So it is a whole idea of personal retaliation that Jesus is going to here. It's the idea of you and I coming to the place where we think that we should not submit to this cruelty which is coming upon us, but we have to find ourselves in a place where we are not fighting back. And that's what Jesus is saying. Again, this is what the Pharisees and the scribes have done. They have caused the law to come to a place where all they think they had to do is to use it for their own good, use it for their own purposes, retaliation, come back. And that's why they figure they can get Jesus, they can string them up. They can do anything they want with them. They can beat people, whatever the case may be. They can do it. They had that because all they had to do is to say something. Well, he committed this or he did it that. Remember the woman in adultery? Well, according to the law, that wasn't even done right. Men couldn't grab a woman on the street and just stay there and stone her to death. That had to be quiet by the judge. But here's where we are, dear people. Christ is saying this. Now, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, that points back to the regulations. And it was God himself, and he set judges over to make those decisions. If anything was doing wrong to that level, that they would handle that. But it's given here to us that we ought to look in the area of retaliation, our very relationships with one another. That's what it is. How are we getting along with one another? How are we speaking to one another? How are we acting and treating one another? That's what it comes down to. And remember again, Jesus is talking about his people, those who are in the kingdom. And if you imagine that, you think, what kind of kingdom it would be? Or if we move it down to where we could see another set, what kind of church it would be if everybody's at everybody's throats? We make mistakes, don't we? We say something, and it may be, you know, it didn't come out the way we wanted to come out. Now, if you said that to me, and all in my mind is that I'm going to get even with you, what kind of situation would this be? What kind of relationship would it be? If all we thought is that we got to get back at one another. And this is what Jesus is speaking about. My people are going to be different. Now, this may go out in some form to our neighbors, but really the focus Jesus has here is upon the people of God and as we get along together. And you're going to see the other ones, you know, the legal situation. Paul talks about a legal situation, but we have to, dear people, say, is that me today? Is this me where I don't have to get even with someone, even because he could be put in a category as Jesus called an evil person? Do I have to get back at him? Do you have to get back at him? Well, the answer for Jesus is no. So here is what I say to you, dear people. Christ is teaching us this. These are Christ's word. You take Christ's word today and you say, I am going to look at every relationship I have. If some of them, if there's a relationship that's kind of questionable, you know, me and somebody always have this tit for tat. You know what? You have to look at that as a child of God and say, no more. Christ said no to that, and I am not going to do that. And you have to, from that point on, what we need to do is a thought have to be in my mind. When brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, my wife, my husband say this, I am not going to retaliate. Because I'm going to live, which is going to be to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine how our relationships would be if we did that. Imagine what our children would see of us if we did that. And Jesus is saying, this is what you are to be. Jesus said, you have everything already in you to be that. Because you have changed heart. You know, sometimes people say, you know, so-and-so Christian, so, yeah, but he ain't nothing but a Pharisee. That's how everything will be called, isn't it? He's a Pharisee. Man, that's worse than calling somebody a monkey or something. He's a Pharisee. Oh, my goodness. He got religion or Christianity all messed up. And there were some that fit under that category in some ways. Church members, and boy, I tell you, they tell you off in a minute. Tell you where you're wrong at. Tell you what they don't like about you. Everything. We don't have none of those here. I'm not talking about you people. But they're out there. And we got to be so careful that we will not even give the semblance of such a one. Know what you do? Somebody say something that hurts, just stop and think about it. And maybe you might just have to say, Lord Jesus, help. Before you go back, make sure you don't go back with retaliation. Let us pray.